Hey, everybody. Yeah, I'll use it later. Thank you. I kept tripping over it in the first service. So far, I guess I'm not as cool as I think I am. But thank you. Thank you, Kristen. I'm cooler. Yeah. Am I centered now? All right. They're working me through this. Okay. Thank you, Alan. That was an amazing set. Thank you for leading us in worship and what God's doing with you. Very cool. Let me look around here real quick. Okay. Students, back row people, kind of center people. There's some people missing in here. Is it because Nels is there? Okay. Got Nels' mama and brother down here. There's a good number of people over here. Way to go, y'all. All right. But, you know, the one thing I've just observed, you all are human. We're full of people today. You know, and as people, we all have to make decisions. How many of you need to make some decisions in your life? You got some decisions that are on your plate that you are looking at? Like, what do I do? You know, I'm talking about Proverbs today, and I talked about decisions at the beginning of the first service, and I kind of hung back. And the way the first service ended, I couldn't go and do my religious priestly ritual to shake hands with everybody as they went out the back door. And so all of that was messed up. And so I come out the door after the first service, and there's a guy out there, and he's like pacing. And he's pacing back and forth. He's pacing back and forth out in the front. And I open the door, and he comes at me. And he says, I need to talk to you. I said, well, what do you need to talk to me about? I mean, I just gave you the best I could. They said, no, this is serious. He said, you know, I have been really dealing with some decisions, and my relationship with my wife is not going great, and I was on the verge of making a decision that I needed to walk away from this marriage. And the message today, talking about wisdom, I realize that I am working from a human perspective and that I need God's wisdom. I need God's wisdom to show and redirect me on how to manage those things. So I know, looking around, you all are human. I know that you may or may not be dealing with the same issues and questions as that guy. I know that some of you have to make some decisions about your financial stuff. If you're making decisions, if you're retired, you're wondering, you know, do I have enough money to make it through the end of my retirement? Because some of you do look pretty healthy from this vantage point, so you're probably going to have a long retirement. And you need wisdom to manage that. You need wisdom about your jobs. You need wisdom about how to raise your kids over here and the kids that are younger. You need wisdom to deal with adult children or adult grandchildren as you deal with them. What do I do with these people? Sometimes they seem like they're fully engaged in life. They're becoming adults, and then other times it's like they have lost their minds. It's certainly not me. It's got to be them. Amen. Thank you, David. Some of you are making some decisions about your jobs. Some of you are making decisions spiritually, and you make these decisions spiritually every day, and you get up with hope and promise, but a little bit of uncomfort in the mornings because you're wondering, can you pull this off yet another day? And you go to bed defeated, you go to bed wondering, you go to bed thinking, I have failed yet another day spiritually. So what do you do with all this? How do you work through the blame game? How do you work through dealing with your own stuff? How do you overcome the enemy that puts you in that mindset to think that at the end of the day you failed when you are a child of God and you have lived with Him, for Him? He has walked with you every moment of that day. And if God is walking with you every moment of that day, how did you fail? That even the decisions and the choices that you made that didn't even honor Him doesn't pull Him away from you, nor does it keep Him from loving you. Amen. And as we deal with all of these issues, we're making decisions. We're looking for a way to make decisions. And the problem is, We think that our decision-making is based on knowledge. It's based on our propensity to know. If I know more about the Bible, then I'm going to know more about God, then I'm going to know how to make decisions. That's not what the Bible teaches. Bible knowledge is not going to change your life. It's an encounter with the Word of God and an encounter with God that changes your life. Knowledge is just religion. And religion doesn't get you to a place where there is life transformation. And so when you come down to making decisions, you just don't, you're unable, you are unequipped, you're ill-equipped to be able to make those decisions with wisdom. Wisdom is not the propensity to learn or how much you learn. You know, it's really interesting that people will want to show how much they know. And as they share how much they know, then when the real world decisions come to make decisions, to make godly decisions, not worldly decisions, it's impossible for them to make those godly decisions because they are entrapped by an issue of knowledge, how much they want to know, how intelligent they are, and they're not able to draw on wisdom that is biblical wisdom and godly wisdom. So is your interest piqued at all about how you might be able to discover the greater sense of what God's wisdom is all about? Wisdom is really a fascinating thing. Wisdom is understanding the atomic structure of you and the atomic structure of God. Understanding the reality that it's the very basic, it's the very core stuff. It's the foundations of your life. It's the structural, the foundations of the structure of your life that gives you wisdom. A lot of times people's wisdom is based on failure. Because I have failed and because I've had bad judgment about something, I have learned more wisdom. But that's manly wisdom. That's earthly wisdom. Godly wisdom takes us into a realm in which we are able to truly understand the heart of God as it intermeshes with the truth of His Word. And that kind of wisdom gives us keen insights into living. It helps us to see beyond the surface. It helps us to go down to the very core, to the spiritual atomic structure of everything. Solomon was considered the most incredible guy, the most wisest man that has ever lived. If you read in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, or you read in the second or the first chapter of 2 Chronicles, you hear that God gives Solomon an opportunity to ask for God's blessing and God's favor that will give him something that will help him become an outstanding ruler over God's people. Solomon was the son of David and Bathsheba. He was their second son that was born. He was the last monarch of the unified kingdom. After Solomon passed, then the kingdoms were divided in two, to the kingdom of Israel in the north and the kingdom of Judah in the south. And Solomon was considered one of the wealthiest men on the planet and the wisest because he asked God. God said, "What can I do for you?" I mean, can you imagine that? God asking, "What can I do for you?" And then can you even imagine even greater? Solomon says, "I need wisdom. I need godly wisdom. I need prophetic wisdom. I need wisdom that is going to be able to guide this kingdom, guide these people, and to guide me as I make these decisions." And so for the first 25 chapters of the book of Proverbs, Solomon pens these as insights to his wisdom. Now, if you look at chapter 1 is not a proverb. Chapter 1, verse 1 is a proverb. Chapter 1, verse 2 is an additional proverb. Each verse is a proverb. After chapter 25, it tells us in the Scriptures that Hezekiah and his royal scribes were able to edit Solomon's work, additional work. God inspired that editing, and it became chapter 30. And then in chapter 31, a king by the name of Lemuel, which means belonging to God, and belonging to God, Lemuel, is mentioned only here in this passage. He is a fascinating guy. He's probably a pseudonym for Solomon or Hezekiah. And as we see each verse in this book, each verse and each proverb in this book provides us with wisdom. And the source of that wisdom either came down through the families as the families discussed them, either through the royal scribes or through the religious priests. And then Solomon took them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write down these texts. And this wisdom gives you insight on how you should live, how you should gain peace. It's not knowledge. It's not scriptural Bible knowledge. It's not knowledge of life. It's understanding the wisdom of God and the wisdom as it's spoken through Solomon, as it's spoken through Hezekiah, that can transform your life and change your life forever. Turn with me to Proverbs 1. Let me just read a few verses here. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the more who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and saying the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you understand chapter 1, then you're going to start to understand and unlock the rest of the book of Proverbs. And it tells us that you can have, instead of a heart that is deceived, a heart that is broken, a heart that is yearning, a heart that is wandering, a heart that is seeking something, you can have the wisdom of God. It's going to bring harmony and peace to your life. It's going to bring harmony and peace to your relationships. It's going to bring harmony and peace to your connections with God. It's going to help you understand who you are in relationship with God. That you're not just a sinner saved by grace. More importantly, you are a sinner who has been saved by grace, and now you are a son and a daughter of God, and your identity is totally different. Many of you think that because of my past, I am somehow disqualified for God to work in my life. But in reality, because of your presence, who you are in Christ changes everything. And allows you to walk in wisdom. And it tells us that the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, is the beginning of all understanding on how we live life. I mean, do you ever think about that? Do you ever actually think about who we just sang those songs to? Do you ever think about who you're really talking to when you pray? Do you ever think about who you're reading about when you read about Him in the Scriptures? Because if you really are thinking about Jesus, if you're really thinking about the one we are singing about, we are not singing about Him, we are singing to Him. When you're praying to the God who created everything, and you're wondering if God can take care of your needs. And you're wondering if God can truly move and change the circumstances and the situations of your life? Are you kidding me? And it's understanding our relationship, our new relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. That's wisdom. I love it in verse 4 where it says, to give prudence to the simple. Well, you don't get any more simpler than me. All right, wise guys, what's prudence? Discernment? I'll take that as a half answer. You get a B, Pat. You youngsters down here, prudence? How many of you old-timers used to listen to the Beatles? There you go, but that's not what this means either. Prudence is a synonym. Discernment is a part of that. Judgment would be another synonym. Wisdom itself, decision-making, all of that is prudence. And that God says, I want to give prudence, I want to give wisdom, I want to give discernment, I want to give simple people a way to make good judgments in their life. So that you can make good judgments in your marriages, good judgments in your careers, good judgments in your financial management, good judgments with your health, good judgments with your mental health, good judgments with your spiritual health. And as we look at the reality of this, it opens up a new door. And I want you to turn with me to Proverbs 3. That God wants to give us this wisdom, this new life. In Proverbs 3, here's the point, because I sometimes forget to give you the points, and that just throws your whole... Yeah, it's just kind of... So I want to give it to you. Wisdom starts with trusting God with every aspect. Everybody say that with me. Every aspect. Oh, that was bad. Every aspect of your life, and by loving Him with all your heart. Now that is a declaration point. That we are to trust Him with every aspect of our lives. Well, what about this? You don't know, Tom, what I deal with. You don't know this jerk that I'm married to. You don't know how hard this boss is that I work with. You don't know how crazy my kids are. You don't know how crazy my parents are. I'm not even going there. And we love Him with all of our heart. Verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let your steadfast love and faithfulness, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Chapter 3 begins just like chapter 1. It gives us this declaration. It is an appeal to His Son. God is appealing to Solomon, get these things true. Get these things right. Let them be the dynamic on how you live your life. And then he goes on and explains, because if you get wisdom right, it's going to change your health, the length of your days, and the peace that you have in your experience. What is God telling Solomon there? He's saying that if you understand wisdom, it's going to give you peace of mind, and peace of mind then gives you a healthier perspective on life. How many illnesses that you struggle with? Let's be like a coffee shop with a bunch of old people in it. Let's just talk about our aches and pains, just for a second. What's ailing you folks? You know, and so what we see is what he's saying here. It's pretty spectacular. He's saying, I'm going to give you peace of mind. And that peace of mind is going to take away all of that psychological stuff that puts stress in your life, that gives you inconsistencies in your life, that causes worry, that causes fear. And I'm going to give you peace as you deal with life. He says, write it, put it around your neck. Now, how many of you think that it's the phylacteries of the Pharisees? You know, they had a little box with scriptures on their forehead and then a tassel and it led up to their heart and a little box on the wrist. Do you think that's what he's talking about here? Anybody? Good. I didn't want you to confuse that, because the Pharisees didn't come along until the Babylonian captivity, so Solomon precedes that. How many of you have on jewelry today? How many of you are wearing a necklace? You are the most undone people. All right, let me ask this question again. Maybe you guys just dozed off for a second. How many guys in here are following after their favorite professional athlete and are wearing like maybe two or three necklaces, or just one? Come on, guys, if you have one, wear it. Flaunt it. Raise your hand. None. One? One? We have one pro athlete here. How many of you ladies have on a necklace? okay, that's better. That's a little bit more honest. I still think there's more. I'm not going to steal it. I'm not a pickpocket. What Solomon is writing here, what God is inspiring him to write is this, that when you have wisdom, it adorns your body. It's like a necklace adorns who you are. People think that the outside of you is attractive because you're presenting an adornment on you. And what he's saying is that instead of just having this outward beauty, you put God's wisdom like a necklace around your neck, and it creates this inner beauty that everyone notices. When you're walking in wisdom, when you're experiencing wisdom, people will want to talk to you. If you have no wisdom, guess what? It's like leadership. If you're a leader and no one's following you, you're not a leader. Wisdom is something that people cherish and don't have. People are looking for wisdom and don't even know what they're looking for. But when you wear it around your neck, it makes you a different person on the inside. He says, engrave it, another jewelry concept, engrave it on your heart. Now, the Hebrew word for heart isn't cardia like in Greek. It's not heart like in English, meaning this muscle that's pumping life. It means guts. Actually, it could be kidneys or intestines. So he's saying, in the core of who you are, in the core of your body, engrave my wisdom in the very center of who you are. It's like the frame behind this wall. You put it in your life. It's like the core. It's like that atomic structure. It becomes you. And because it becomes you, it is beautiful. You become beautiful because God's presence is in your life. Who you are is seen by other people, and they are drawn to seeing the reality of God's presence and God's wisdom in your life. And guess what? You have something to be able to share with them, to be able to tell them the truth about who God is. How many of you want to be able to tell people the truth of who God is and what He's mean to you? Anybody here? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Leaning on your own understanding will not give you peace. It will not give you harmony. You will not experience the fullness of love. You will not experience that divine joy that God will give you. How's that working for you? But if you're willing to shed off your understanding, your personal wisdom, remember we learn a lot of wisdom by our failed experiences. I don't want to live my life based on my failed experiences. I want to live my life on the truth of God's Word. I want to live my life by the presence of God in my life. Because if you're like me, I can do stuff and still not learn it. So the wisdom that I have is false wisdom. It's so incredible. It's so significant. It turns us and changes us to the place where our prayer becomes like this guy that I saw a cartoon about this past week, where the cartoon said that your prayer needs to become, God, help me to become the kind of guy that my dog thinks I am. That's what wisdom does. It helps us to become authentic. It helps us to become legit. It changes the way we see life, that we do life. It changes us how we see people. I shared Wednesday night that the fruit of the Spirit cannot be experienced without community, because everything that's in the fruit of the Spirit deals with relationships. So if you live life as a solo flight, you can't experience the fullness of all the fruits of the Spirit. And the reality is this. You want to live an authentic life so that the fruit of the Spirit can be seen by everybody that you come in contact with, and they say, that person is different. That woman, that man, that young man, that young woman has a different kind of life. Their decision-making is different, the peace that they have is different, and there's something that is incredible that is behind that, and what is behind that is the Word of God and the presence of His Spirit. You guys missed it. That could have been a great amen moment.
Amen.
Point two, God's wisdom affects how you manage your health and your finances. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with all your wealth and with the first fruits and all you produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So these are proverbs that will instruct us on how to live. What are the things that usually affect the lack of peace in our life? What usually drives fear and uncertainty as we deal with life? It's usually dealing with our health, and it's usually dealing with our finances. I mean, we're afraid of rejection, we're afraid of the future, we're afraid of insignificance, we're afraid of failure, we're afraid of being afraid. And it tells us that a wise person needs to first understand you are not wise from your own stuff. The only place of wisdom is absolute, total, unconditional surrender to God. Do not be wise in your own eyes. If you think you've gotten to that point where you can pat yourself on the back, where you can thump your chest, you can think that I've made it, I've arrived, and then you need to go back to square one and realize, God, I need your wisdom. Amen. On how to deal with this stuff. That I need to fear. The best way, the synonym for fear is I need to revere. I need to have reverence for God. And look at this. It says, turn away from evil. That means that as you intersect with the wisdom of God's Word and as you deal with circumstances and situations in life, God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit gives you a chance. It gives you a significant point to say, I choose to live differently. I am so grateful that about a month and a half ago, I started a journey because a month and a half ago, your pastor had a huge addiction. I was addicted to sugars. I was addicted to artificial sweeteners. I'm set free. I'm detoxed. I don't eat that stuff anymore. I thank my coach there in the middle. I thank my friends on staff that has walked with me and my family that's been patient with me about this. I am not addicted to sugars. And I know that it's a real issue. Some people don't realize how addicted they are, but I have been set free. And it's going to be a lifetime journey, and it's a hard one sometimes. But it's being set free. It's the wisdom of knowing that God has set me free and given me a support system to be set free, that I have peace. As I deal with this, that I know my future is going to be different. Glory. And then it goes on and talks about something that no one... Anybody want to talk about money? You do? What, the lack of it? Yeah. Nobody likes to come to church and talk about money. You know, I didn't pick this sermon for this verse, these verses. But money is an issue that creates disharmony in our lives. And Solomon gives, the richest man in the world and the wisest man in the world, gives us an incredible truth. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits. He's giving us a financial management plan. And that as we give God our first fruits, then he's not telling us that we're going to be wealthy and rich, but what he's telling us is we're going to be peaceful, that our barns will be filled with plenty, what we need, and our vats will be bursting, that God wants to bless us and bless us in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. That God wants to set us free. That for him, back in verses 1 through 6 and here in 7 through 10, prosperity means I've discovered the peace that God offers us. But here's the deal. I am tired about telling people that we need to go witness and then we never do. We never go lead somebody to Jesus. I'm tired about telling people, you know, we need to become disciple makers. And we disciple very few people. And I don't say that to give you a guilt trip. I just say that I am tired that somehow in the failure of my preaching, I don't launch you into action steps. Today is different. We're going to stop and take an action step. Are you in for this? How many have a smartphone? Pull them out. Pull out your smartphones. Let me read this passage for you one more time. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. I don't want to manipulate you and I don't want to compel you out of guilt. But I think it's time that we put action behind the scriptures and we put actions behind the word. It says that if we honor God with our first fruits and our giving and we trust Him with our finances, He gives us peace about our finances, and He's going to bless us with even more peace. He's going to bless us. And I don't care if it's $5, 5 cents. I don't even care if you give to this church. Give to a ministry that honors God. And here's an action plan. Here is a step you can take. On the screen is a text. You got your smartphones out? Text your gift to that number. It's an action plan. Take a step of faith. Trust it. Trust God's word, not Tom's word. Trust God's word. And then it gives us the reality that we are to honor Him with our first fruits. I want to give you guys a chance to be biblically in line with what God's plan and what God's purpose is for your life. You with me? Oh, there you go. That's pretty awesome. Okay, this is a text number that goes where you can, we've always had it. It's one of the many ways that we allow people to share with their tithes and offerings. You can go through the app, the webpage, the offering boxes that Alan talked about earlier, or you can text your gift to this number. Just text that number, and a way to give through your text will come through on your smartphone. Okay? So it's an action plan. Second thing, don't get carried away because I want to cover these points. Second thing, wisdom, the wisdom of God is one of the most valuable gifts you can ever receive from Him. How many of you received salvation? Don't raise your hand. How many of you received salvation? How many of you received the power and the presence of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit in your life? How many of you have seen God work and change and transform your life? How many of you know God's love? How many of you have a new identity in Jesus Christ? But you also have wisdom. God has given you wisdom to have peace and to have joy. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. God wants to set barriers. God wants to set boundaries. God does not want to slap you around or punish you for the stuff that you do. What God wants to do is to love you till you stop doing what you do that is ungodly. God wants to set boundaries so that when you feel the boundaries set by this life and because of the decisions that you make, as you make those decisions, you feel the crush, you feel the difference, you feel the non-peace, you feel the fear that comes. And that when you see the reality of this, God wants to discipline us, and He does it with His love. He wants to give us, don't grow weary with His reproof. For the Lord reproves him who He loves. As a father, the son in whom He delights, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare to her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. And her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life, and those who lay hold on her, of her, those who hold her fast, are called blessed. The Greek word for wisdom is Sophia. The Hebrew word for wisdom is Chokmah. Or if you grew up in the South like me, it's Chokmah. How many of you have grandparents that your grandmother somehow has Ma somewhere in her name? Grandma, yeah, okay. So you know Hebrew. And Solomon tells us that in knowing this wisdom gives us peace, it gives us direction, it gives us joy. Even when we're experiencing the reproofs of life and the discipline of life, it all is about love. It's all about setting boundaries for us. have a dog, and her name is Belle. When we first got her as a puppy, she was hard to walk. In fact, I think all puppies are kind of hard to walk on a leash. Now, I don't know if it's because we've given her really good training or if it's because she's now 12, but she's a great walker. She walks at my speed. She doesn't pull anymore. She's like this amazing, I could enter into her dog show. I mean, she's just incredible. The only command that she knows is sit. And then she walks on the leash. But Belle needed some training. I have a cousin, and he's now retired, but he grew up in Arizona. And his career, his professional career, was in rodeo. He was a bronco buster. Not quite bull riding, but to bust those broncos that were always bucking and, you know, going through that thing. Those horses had to be broken to be able to hold a rider and for the rider to be able to control the horse. God's boundaries for us, His discipline is like Belle's leash, learning to walk on that leash. It's like those broncos, and some of you are amazing broncos. You are jumping and ferociously trying to keep your control to yourself. I mean, what guy in here wants to be told what to do? Guys, do you want to be told what to do? How many of you guys really enjoy being told what to do? I hate it. The whole purpose of wisdom is God giving direction. How many of you, when you're going to buy something big at your house, you do research on it. You Google it. Then you go and you study it. And you decide, okay, this TV is better than this TV. This car is better than this car. This dishwasher is better than the other dishwasher. You research it. You talk to some friends. What kind of skill saw do you have? And Proverbs is giving you this wisdom. It's helping you move beyond these boundaries to the place where you understand. And let me tell you, following Jesus is all about boundaries. Following Jesus is all about discipline. Following Jesus is about absolute, total, unconditional surrender. Turn with me over to Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter. In Luke 14, Jesus is teaching His disciples. Chapter 14, verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied Him, and He turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be My disciple." If you put anything, if you elevate anything, say that with me, if I elevate anything, if I elevate anything over my relationship with Jesus, I'm not following Him. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all you see is the beginning. See it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has, he cannot be My disciple. Solomon's talking about that here in Proverbs 3:11-18. You cannot despise the discipline or the reproof of submitting everything to Jesus. Last point. God's plans are constructed on His wisdom, and it provides you peace and rest. Verse 19, "The Lord by wisdom found the earth, By understanding, he established the heavens. By the knowledge, the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. What he says is that God just didn't randomly create. There was a wisdom. There was wisdom behind the plan. He didn't just randomly create this part of the universe, and then this part of the universe, and then he created Earth, and then to throw everybody off, he created platypuses. There was wisdom behind everything. He reminds, Solomon reminds the reader that in Genesis, God had a plan for the flood. And then he goes on and says, keep this wisdom. It gives you peace. It allows you to live in discretion. He then says, again, he says, adorn your neck with this so that people can see the beauty of my wisdom in you. And then he says, walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked. When it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. He's saying that God deals with us and wants to give us peace and harmony in all things. Do you realize that 40% of all children have what is called night terrors? Maybe you as an adult had night terrors when you were a kid. Maybe some of you kids have night terrors. 40%, that's almost half. Night terrors take place when you are in REM sleep, when you're not in REM, when you go past REM sleep to non-REM sleep. There is about the same percentage of adults who every night have nightmares. Some of you had nightmares last night. Nightmares for adults take place in REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep. And what Solomon is telling us is that even in your sleep, God wants to give you peace. And God wants to give you rest. And most of the time, the stuff that comes up from our subconscious in our dream state is created by stuff that happens in our conscious. When we are agitated, when we are fearful, when we doubt, when we are concerned about what's happening with the present. And it comes when our defenses of our conscious life and our conscious state is unable to maintain that. When we're asleep, those things come bubbling and brewing out. But Solomon says wisdom gives you enough peace and gives you enough harmony in your life when you are able to trust God with all of the wisdom that He has for you into making all the decisions. He removes our fear. There's no more fear of death or failure or rejection. There's no more fear of being misunderstood. That when you are living by His wisdom, when you experience the supernatural wisdom that God offers you, you're able to make the right decisions. You're able to maintain the right kind of relationships. You're able to wipe away and wash away and walk away from all this disturbing stuff so that at night you can rest, you can have peace. And then when you get up in the morning, you feel like $1 million because you're no longer contending for something that you're holding on to that you can't control. Because you have wisdom, you turn those things over to God. And I would say that probably throughout this auditorium, throughout this worship center today, whether you're a student or whether you're an adult, we need to be able to know that kind of peace and harmony in our lives. I want you to be able to be set free from fear. Fear when you're asleep, fear when you're awake, all of the things that fear deals with, all of the fears and issues that you stockpile in every part of our lives. And I want you to be able to be set free because God offers you this new, fresh wisdom. So how do I get that, Tom? How do I have that? Well, Solomon's been very clear. Wisdom comes when you see and admit, I don't have wisdom. And the only source of that wisdom is to turn everything over to Him. It's unconditional. We've talked about that 3 times in this message already. When you surrender, when you submit, when you are able to say, I can't drive this train anymore. So there is a train going through here. You're all conductors. You can all get on board. You can get on board and say, I'm surrendering everything to Jesus. I'm surrendering everything to trust Him. God, let this kind of wisdom, let me gather the truth and glean this truth from Your Word. Help me to start living differently. Help it to bring about such beauty in my life that others notice and see that I'm a new person, a different kind of person, because Your wisdom, God, has changed me. Do you think you can be changed today? Do you think God has the ability to change you? God has the ability to change you. God has the ability to give you that wisdom. Our altar is open for you to come and spend some time with God. If you'd like one of the staff members to pray with you during this time, we'd love to pray for you so that you can release that fear, release everything to trust God and to accept the wisdom that He has to offer you. And so we're here to pray with you if you'd like that today. I know we've run a few minutes over, but I'd rather run a few minutes over and you get this message than to be churchy and finish at noon and let you get to lunch. I'd rather you have the wisdom that God offers you. So won't you stand and won't you come?